Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sikh Christian Internet Radio Outreach, WSCIRO, Boston, Massachusetts, USA.
Birthday party. Oh, gee, great. You know, I really needed another, a tie.
Oh, yeah. Hey there, Jim. That's no problem. You know, I saw that and I said to myself, hey, Jim wears shirts and stuff. So I'm thinking, shirts, a tie, it's perfect. A match made in heaven.
That's very thoughtful of you.
Wait, sweetie. Here's one more gift for you.
What is it, honey?
Just open it.
Hey, it's a Bible. I've been wanting one, and it's got my name on it.
This is no ordinary Bible. It's the Personal Promise Bible. It doesn't just have your name on it. It's got your name inside it, too.
Let's see. John 3:16. For God so loved Jim. Wow, this is cool.
Check out Proverbs 18:22.
Wow. When Jim found Linda, he found a good thing. I sure did. Thanks, honey.
The Personal Promise Bible, the most thoughtful gift you could ever find. Call toll-free to get your Personal Promise Bible. 1-866-847-7731. A Bible as unique as you are. Online at personalpromisebible.com.
Okay, we just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Today is Sunday, all right? This is a pre-broadcast. It's a special alert, excerpt. We are here on Sunday, October 28th. I'm taking my husband to work after a week's vacation. And I don't know if...
Hurricane Sandy is on the way.
Yeah, I don't know if all you know this, but Hurricane Sandy's on the way. We're trying to put this alert onto our pre-broadcast show on the third part of Lost Art or Suffering. And we are, many people are going to suffer in the storm. We were trying to figure out why the urgency, why the Lord wanted us to, you know, start this series. It was just like a series that just popped up, the Lost Art of Suffering. Go, you know, to our other ones, download it. You know, we may not have any power, but go to our previous broadcast, Lost Art of Suffering in the Word of God. There's oodles of scripture regarding this. But, you know, this storm, the Lord is saying...
It's very unusual, once
yeah,
to talk about it.
And don't even take it for granted. We in the northeast region of the country are used to nor'easters, okay, where the other parts of the country are not. But we are not used to nor'easter with a Category 1 hurricane.
That cover 800 miles of distance from front of the storm to the end of the storm.
Yes, and we're getting, you know, and then, of course, what you have on top of that is earthquakes. The ground is moving underneath. The ground is moving underneath in the sea, causing major waves. We're on a full moon. The last time that a full moon storm happened that wreaked a lot of havoc along the eastern seaboard, and it was the blizzard of 1978, where it was was forecast that we would have partly cloudy weather, but we ended up shoveling partly cloudy for at least 2 weeks without electricity and things like that.
No transportation.
And there was no transportation.
That's
and it paralyzed everything and everyone. And it seems like this may do the same thing, but in a different light. There's also a winter storm that's feeding.
Coming west to east.
And from what I hear, the Great Lakes are going to be affected. There are going to be tidal surges between 11 feet, they're projecting, and 32 feet waves, high waves, that are going to be fueled by 75 mile winds, okay? So this is nothing to take lightly, and they are saying that we have to have at least, you know, food that will last for three days, food, fuel, and water, batteries, you know, that will last, depending on where you live, at least 3 days. But the electricity may be out longer than usual, only because different regions share different grids. Like there was a part of Stoughton when we were in a Hurricane Irene or Tropical Storm Irene, that part of Stoughton was on a grid that connected to New York. So these grids are connected to other places where, you know, if they're hit the worst, then we're going to have longer power outages. And so this is going to go all the way up to Canada, and it's spreading over 800 miles, and I just can't conceive that, because let me tell you, when Jeff and I used to visit Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship on a regular basis, we would drive 500 miles one way up to Canada. That was like, it took us about 13 hours. We of course stopped from Boston, and so and then we'd come back, was another 500 miles. So that whole trip was a little over 1,000, and this storm is that big.
It's a little under 1,000.
A little under 1,000, but they're saying right now 900. They really don't know exactly how big this is going to be. There's rough estimations, but they're more towards 900. Yeah.
And it's going to come in over the ocean, but there's many predicted paths that it could take.
Right.
Which means it has many. It mm-hmm. may have many.
But there are certain
damaging areas.
Yeah.
But one way or the other, it will be damaged, whether it's the direct storm.
And we're getting
you,
part of that right now with steady drizzle. We're getting that right now with steady drizzle, and the winds have picked up a little bit here, 20 to 30 miles an hour. I'm driving on Route 27 in Stoughton, like I said earlier, and taking my husband to work. And so we just thought that we would include this excerpt on real time because, you know, it's real. Going to hit us. Where the greatest impact is, only God knows. But we need to be staying, we need to stay praying. We need others to pray for this, for the whole region of the United States. And this could really, really wreak economic havoc in a greater way. And I really believe the reason why we are in $1 trillion debt is not because of. Not because of taxes and government spending. It's because of these storms. It's because of the crisis, the oil crisis that hit. It's because of the storms. I mean, what do you expect the people to do, the governmental agencies? Just fold their hands and let people, like, die? No, they're going to help out because they have a heart, you know, and that's going to be the same thing with this storm. So that's why we're facing this. It's because, you know, the earth is groaning, and it is groaning and crying out because of the sin of mankind, but it's also groaning and crying out, waiting for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed, the ones that have the strong apostolic anointing and things like that. And right now, there's a cry going forth from the heart of the Lord. He wants his people to lay down on their faces and repent. Repent for your families. Repent for the church. Repent for the way that the people have bought the lies of the world, and how the world has, you know, has ruined or attempted to ruin the souls of many people. All right, repent for the children that are, and the mothers and the single mothers of these children that have been kidnapped into sexual slavery. There's so much that's on the heart of the Lord, and of course the abortions, but you know, it's all this evil snowballing into one, and we need to do our part, and we need to stand in the gap, and we need to nail all these offenses of the Lord to the cross of Jesus, okay, and so that the Lord can deal with it once and for all, and release His glory to the earth, you know, for renewal, for the kingdom of God to be made known in God's people, for the daughters and sons of God to be revealed in this coming, revival. We're at the beginning of something. The glory is going to, the Lord's going to intervene in the storm, but many people need to pray, and this will hopefully mitigate the intensity of the storms. Jeff, you want to say something?
I just think we need to just follow through on prayer.
Yeah, and fasting.
And fasting.
And know, no particular political...
Be ready, because storms don't have political parties.
Right, right.
They're going to hit everybody.
Suffering is suffering.
Because I looked at the weather map, and this storm is the largest storm in its width, north to southwest, that I've ever seen. And it's going to, because of the way it's combining with the winter front, they call it, that's coming off the west coast to the east coast, and what's coming up, pushing it up.
It was going from the activity that's happened underground, tsunamis.
There's like three points of weather, one coming from the west and the northern part, across the northern part of our country, and one coming from the southwest, pushing the storm, and another coming from the east, pushing west.
And the power that's coming from the ground, moving ground.
And if it hits, if all these things were to tie together, it would be the biggest storm ever.
Well, that's what they're saying.
Size-wise, it is the biggest storm.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if all these elements of these three different storms and these combined and made one more...
It could reap the same kind of destruction like a Category 5 hurricane that lasted only one day, but now this is a span over 3 days. So, Jeff, you got to get going. So, serve those customers.
Are you coming in?
I'm probably going to be like... and getting some extra groceries so, you know, we can I can cook it up and wait till the lights go off. All right, love you. Bye bye. So that's it, folks. Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in your people, Lord that you don't leave any stone unturned. And I remember. This morning when I woke up, the Lord was showing me, well, the last 2 days, putting things on for status updates that, you know, he wants his people, he's going to touch the hearts of his people. He's going to, in these next couple of days, he is going to bring the things that are hidden in the darkness and bring it to the light. You know, all those things that are hindering people's walk in the Lord and walking in the fullness of what they're called to walk in, because he wants to form himself more fully in his people, in all of us, and he doesn't want any hindrances in this. And you know, he loves us, you know, so we have to go through the suffering as a nation, and at the same time we got to turn to him. That is beyond that's what we need to vote for. We need to vote for Jesus. We need to vote for him today. We don't need to wait for the elections, and we need to call out to his name, call out to him, all right, on behalf of our family members, on behalf of the church, on behalf of the world, and we have to ask the Lord to send his kingdom now. That's what we need to be doing. That's what we need to be voting for today, even before the elections. That's what's prevalent. The Lord's going after the heart of mankind. So without further ado, Lord, we just ask you that. We just thank you for what you're doing. I don't like this destruction. You know how I am, Lord. But, you know, you're doing this for a reason. You who created man's heart. And we are asking, Lord, that there will be minimal casualty, minimal loss of life. And at the same time, Lord, that there will be a rendering of the heart of the Lord upon the people. And that... and that there would be massive repentance and true transformation and true conversions. We thank you, Jesus. And that you would put an end to the strife, to the bickering in the body of Christ. And Lord, that the words that we would speak from here on and will be words of life in Jesus' name. I'm just going to pray an Our Father for the kingdom to come and for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Love you. Bye-bye. And enjoy the rest of the show.
and be safe. And remember, Jesus loves you.
We've told you why people with autism shouldn't be written off, why they deserve, like everyone, the chance to reach their potential. That's why we're here tonight. That's why we're doing this. So let's take a look at what happens when someone actually gets that chance.
Jody is diagnosed right before her second birthday.
What they told us was that we don't know what causes autism. You know, there's no cure for it. It's a lifelong disability, and don't expect too much.
All these dreams we had for her, I had for her, all of a sudden they vanished.
At 3 years old, she started school, and she went to a full day of intensive therapy, constant teaching. And then when she came home, did another 2 hours of therapy in the house.
The time that she started with us, she really was barely able to form a sentence, couldn't really speak. Jody would engage in pretty severe tantrums when you disrupted any of her routines, if things didn't go her way. She would become aggressive, and she might tip over chairs, tip over tables, cry, scream, very, very distressed. Everything was taught to her from a very young age.
We were extremely lucky to have gotten into a program where my child was able to access exactly what she needed.
We picked up early on that she's very interested in music.
Anything she would hear on TV or on the radio station, she would just walk over to her keyboard and start playing. She loves music, and I think through music and through song, she's making herself known. She puts everything into it. It's been difficult, hard, but it's amazing how far she's come.
We were afraid she would never speak, never dreaming that she would sing or even be able to understand. And as the education continues, I've taken off that idea that there's some limit on her, because she, you know, continually proves that that's not true.
Hello, everybody. I'm gonna play Firework by one of my favorite singers, Katy Perry. Through the wind, wanting to start again. Do you ever?
And that was Katy Perry and Jody DiBiase on Night of Too Many Stars. If you want to donate to the cause of autism, you can do so, by, send $10 or whatever, by texting STARS, STARS, to 50555. You can help create many more quality food programs and services that are so desperately needed by the growing autism population. In May, the president's debate focused on helping those with autism tonight. This is Dr. Shirley Candace, October 22nd, 2012. Stay tuned for Faith Talk Life or Blog Talk Radio. Topic will be the loss out of suffering, understanding deception.
Seek the Lord.
Quickening to mortal bodies. for the healing power of the Lord. Hallelujah.
We thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you for what you've done, Lord, and what you're about ready to do in your people throughout the world as the kingdom of God comes closer to the earth than ever before. Watch out, folks. We are in great times. We are in perilous times, but we are in the greater of times, okay? And this is Dr. Shirley Caniff, General Manager and co-host of Faith Talks Live Prayer through WSCIRO, Sea Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston on Blog Talk Radio. I'm here with my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Caniff, the other General Manager and co-founder.
Hello, folks.
Yeah, and we are going to, today is Monday, I might as well say, October 22nd, I think.
Yes.
October 22nd, and of course, later on this evening, it's going to be the last of the rounds of the presidential debate, but I'm trying not to get political here because we need to focus on the things of the Holy Spirit, the working of the Holy Spirit and what he wants to do, all right? And so we're going to concentrate on the lost art of suffering, part three, as it pertains to deception. Okay, we kind of gave you a tidbit in the last episode, and I thank you for those who are archiving this because that shows me that you're interested in the topics that the Lord gives us from heaven, that we left off on lies and what they really are and the damage that they can do to the culture and the territory in which you live, and then the spin, you know, when people start spinning these lies, fabricating lies, it can change the landscape, not permanently. Because we have the Holy Spirit to bring us into all truth, but the Lord is really grieving because many Christians are taking sides and they are cooperating with the storm that these lies brew, and whether it's directly from the enemy himself or groups of people who are influenced by the enemy. And they want to create some kind of groupthink, all right, to gain advantage on some level, whether it be through politics, whether it be through groups with their own agenda that are not necessarily related to the Holy Spirit, for the sole purpose of gaining control, gaining access. And a lot of this has to do with who controls the money and the funds. And we believe, my husband and I, as we're discerning all the different things that are happening in the world, in the world system and in the government, you know, of the world, that it just seems that people respond either in fear or faith regarding where's the money going or where is it not going to. And the way that we're discerning is up through observation and listening and entering into dialogue in a chat room or just observing for a distance. Sometimes the Holy Spirit may say, "Don't respond, pray, don't react. This is what they're looking for." But my husband had a situation on the chat room. You were in the chat room last night. And this is, now, without getting political and taking sides, just explain to the listening audience what kind of chat room was this on Pell Talk? I mean, and what was the emphasis, what concerns you? Because what concerns you, Jeff, is what concerns the Lord, right? Because I know you have a heart and sincerity, you have a heart.
When I first went into this chat room, the Christians in this room were being very unloving and everything that First Corinthians says not to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just watching this. I knew about five of them, and at the time I entered the room for the first time, there was like 12 of them there. The difference in the number, I didn't know about seven people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was some of these people that were squawking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just bad lack of etiquette, lack of protocol conversation.
Now, what was the content associated with? Why were you horrified, and why did you eventually respond?
I was waiting for my opportunity to speak to the issue, and I did, and I was telling them, like, you know, that bad behavior is bad behavior, and, you know, and it was like, it started, you know, some of my comments over time, I wasn't there to argue with anybody.
Yes.
Somebody asked me if I was a Catholic Christian, and I said yes, and I put it right on the line, I'm not here to debate or argue.
Now, what was summarize the debate. What they were trying to get you to react to or respond to.
They were trying to convince me to vote for the incumbent.
Okay, and who they perceived to be.
And
what was the threat if you didn't go take your side?
Immature response is going to hell.
Yeah. So they kind of condemned you to hell if you didn't vote.
Not the whole group.
This
but
one. And they even used church teaching and for that.
Some degree.
Yeah.
It wasn't intellectual and it wasn't like reasoning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then someone made a positive comment because I said, you know, when I go to the booth, I'm not going to just go in there and mark my paper quick.
Right.
I'm going to give it my final prayerful consideration of who goes. Yeah, I'm not, you know.
And the issues that you're voting on.
No matter how poorly the information is presented, these people are giving me information.
Right.
You know, both Romney's giving me information, Obama's giving me, there's a flood of information. But my final test question is actually, Father, how do you see things?
Yes.
And how do you want to lead me to vote?
And what's the bigger picture?
Mm-hmm.
And
that's my like in the booth test question. Nobody, mm-hmm. I'm there with God alone. Nobody
that's
around
right.
me that I might know or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm accountable to God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know,
okay.
I don't have to tell anybody.
Yeah.
How I decided to vote.
And what gets to me when they make these statements like that, they're putting themselves in the judgment seat of God on somebody else's salvation, like. Like,
but they're also
yeah.
putting judgment on themselves, according
exactly.
to Matthew 7:1-2.
Yeah, yeah.
The Lord says very specifically, mm-hmm. judge not lest you be judged. I mean, can't be clear. It doesn't need interpretation.
Right.
That's one section of Scripture that's
mm-hmm.
very clear. And
mm-hmm.
it's not about everybody else's judgmentalness. It's about
mm-hmm.
yours and my judgmentalness that
mm-hmm.
God's addressing in that passage.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that there can be an immediate reciprocal
mm-hmm.
judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But when things, once the judgmentalness leaves our mouth, God wants us to keep it here
mm-hmm.
and work with Him on it instead of
mm-hmm.
speaking it out to people, because God knows everything about everybody. He
mm-hmm.
knows every person. Any Muslim who has slaughtered Christians, He knows them back and forth. He knows even if they were brainwashed generations
right.
ago
right.
in that generation.
Mm-hmm.
When that brainwashing started, and then it just carried through the generations
mm-hmm.
of any problem, whether it's abuse,
mm-hmm.
generational abuse structure in a
sure,
family
sure.
or whatever. God knows all that.
Or the
God
abuse
wants,
of the culture
mm-hmm.
and a groupthink,
mm-hmm.
you know.
It's
yeah.
like there's a bigger picture
mm-hmm.
than just the presidential
election. Yeah.
There's a lot of things that could go by us if we're not paying attention to the broader picture. Yes, we do need to pay attention to particulars.
Yes.
But not to the exclusion of everything else.
Right, right.
Like,
well, it says right here, I took notes on online, somebody had posted this on the news feed, that we need to pay attention in a greater way. And this is over and above the other, this other unseen these are like smoke screens, actually, to other things that could come up
because of alliances that people make with other groups. Now, but what's been happening and what the central focus it was made to be, and it should be part of, you know, what we need to look at in a greater way. But we still can't be blindsided as to other issues that get snowballed, and those would become greater after the election. It depends on who gets in. I'm for the most part very aware that one has greater freedom in this life. I'm not talking about freedom in the, you know, in eternity, but in this life as and in this country, that out of all the countries in the world, we have the greater amount of freedom as far as democracy is concerned. But we have to use it responsibly. We have to look at it as a gift, and we can't use it to bully people into making decisions that go against their own personal conscience. But be the disseminator of good information so they can make a clear and informed decision based on the Holy Spirit leading.
But what, in that chat room, once the conversation became civil, one of the people made a comment.
Well, it became civil because you spoke
once
up.
Once it became civil,
the
person made a copied a statement from a document and forgot the reference. I'll give them that benefit of the doubt. It was
the church teacher, because this was a Catholic room.
They were trying to say something.
And you went to go
in chat rooms, you kind of get into a hurry or tizzy when you're trying to get information from outside the chat room.
Right.
What happened is that, you know, it got to a conversational, back to a conversational point, respectful, intelligent, and I just asked for the reference, and she gave me the document reference, and I looked it up, saw the whole context of it, and, you know. So, I mean, it's in that moment, just on that one element, it was a good exchange of information.
Now, do you think that did you get a sense when you were observing the conversation before you actually responded the way that the Lord wanted you to, did you get an idea in your heart or discernment that they were deceived? Was there any level of deception that you were picking up and spiritually?
I wouldn't say quite deception, but emotionalism.
Okay.
Because
but emotionalism, if you're emotional, you can get deceived.
But the deception
in
that emotionalness is that your emotions are absolutely right, and that's not true. Oftentimes, oftentimes when you're in emotional states, you can make the wrong choices.
You can also
say the wrong thing.
Yeah.
You can be overly powering in a conversation. You can get self-righteous.
I mean,
nobody is exempt from falling into these temptations.
There could be name calling.
Because you're my wife, you point them out to me. But which in some cases I'm glad, because then I try to keep that in my little checklist.
Sure. But when you're in a public forum, like the chat room, like Facebook, where people are deliberately, all right, taking leaders, I'm not talking one political party against another political party, leaders of, you know, even a ministry, even people talking about their family members, which you don't see too much of that, but you do see a lot of some of them. But you do see, you know, a lot of posters, you know, that are posted with good words on their prayers, but then you see the bogus ones, like you see in the tabloids, of leaders, like, being painted. Actually, the pictures are being manipulated and they're looking like, you know, I saw one, and I mentioned this in the other broadcast, about Obama looking like Hitler. And they're saying that he's Hitler, and then they were taking the first lady, and they were manipulating her pictures with some of the expressions in some of the pictures. You know, somebody must have put a collage together. This was recently. I had to block this person because it was going to 4,000 members on the news feed. And they made Michelle Obama look like a devil. And I thought, you know, this is now if it was another couple in the White House, you know, I don't think they would have even allowed it.
Let's pause
yeah.
it there.
Yeah.
Because first of all, the error in their thinking is that people are devils. The error in the thing because people aren't devils.
Right.
There's two different classes of creation.
How about people from a certain...
So
how about
they're speaking out of error
in
personal deception because nobody...
Yeah.
There's boundaries between what is human and what is angelic and demonic.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we get afflicted by the demonic and we get blessed by the angelic.
Yeah.
And the grace and mercy of God. And, and these two parties... the role of the angels is to influence us towards choices for God.
Right.
Not control us into those choices. Like, like something as simple as whispering in our heart, oh, you can do this. And then all of a sudden you feel like, oh, I can do that.
Yeah.
But where is that coming from?
Yeah.
You know, God's grace, the whole
and it's his love, but it's not, you know, the coercion of a human being.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Conversion is not from God.
Exactly.
So who are you working
with? Yeah, where's the grace of that? You know, where's the grace? So the issue. I wanted to get back to what I saw, online, and I thought, you know, even if you don't agree with the leader, like I don't agree with, you know, the other side about some of their policies and what they want to institute and the flip flop that they do and the spin, but I'm not going to go on Facebook. I'm not going to go on on a public forum and, you know, put pictures up there and defame them. I'm not going to do that because there's a check in my spirit that's not appropriate, that's not upbuilding, that the better thing to do would be to pray that God will still have his way because in a strange way, God's not strange, but he even in the strangeness, you know, in the deviance from the truth, or what we perceive that they're deviated from, okay, you know, if they have coming from another, you know, background, you know, like they do. I mean, they're not Catholic, they're not, you know, but what I'm saying is that what the other camp is professing, and they have a right to do it because they are Americans, I just need to finish this thought, that, The best thing to do when there is a disagreement or a difference, or you want to understand individuals more, you understand the bigger picture, the way that the Lord is dictating circumstances, situations, because he could will a certain political party to be in there to accomplish his purposes behind the scenes, like he does most of the time. But what I'm saying is that we got to pray. We can't. This time is short. We cannot defame each other. We cannot make fun of people. That's going to cause further division, and that's going to, you know, release more of the demonic in the atmosphere through our very words.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead, Jeff.
See, all mankind was created in the image and likeness of God.
Mm-hmm.
Simple, that's your foundation for your human dignity. Just because people make deviation choices of deviant thinking or deviant Asians in understanding the things of God does not take away from their core dignity.
Mm-hmm.
That's always there because God made it in us. And when that dignity, you know, we all tarnish our dignity. So get off the high horse, people.
Mm-hmm.
The high horse is that you think you're perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And you act in great arrogance, ridiculing people, condemning people, and you better watch out or you're going to find yourself at the gates of hell.
Right, right.
Not the ones you're judging, but
you
yourself, because you are judging, because Jesus never gave you the right to judge his people.
He gave you the right to pray.
To pray,
to
exhort, to challenge in a positive manner to come higher.
Right. Now, I know that one of the battle questions was, is pro-life. Such, you know, one group is they said, claim to be pro-life, and, you know, the other group does not claim to be pro-life, but more pro-choice. But as you listen to both their platforms, you find out that both camps are pro-choice. One's more moderate than the other, one's more conservative in other areas. But when it comes to the pro-life / pro-choice issue, all right, it just seems that, you know, what
was once a pro-life platform, now, as a result of the debates, what was said already before the American people, before the world, that that abortion, you know, is not allowed until only in the case, and this is what, you know, the conservative people have said. I don't want to even put political parties in
with
there.
With the exception of rape.
And incest. Now, in my heart, in the way that I was taught through the church, and people are saying the church, that's the church teaching it too. You got to choose the lesser of the evil, two evils. My whole thinking is, why isn't the church challenging more in a greater way? The Catholic Church I'm talking about. Why are they not challenging in a greater way? How that is that there is no pro-life platform out there, you know, that they're running on. One saying one thing, as far as pro-choice is concerned. In reality, we all have the ability to choose. The Lord gave us that freedom of choice after our first parents sinned in their disobedience. But what, I'm not trying to, you know, advocate pro-choice anything. But when you take a position of life, when you have the living God living within you, you need to, you know, if you want to be authentic in your Christianity, you need to come into agreement with all that gives life, not just partial life, okay? All, okay? And that's just how it is. That's the absolute truth, all right? And so, you know, we really, as a church, and representing the body of Christ, as Catholic Christians first and foremost, I'm now talking to the church, we need to come clean. All right, we may have to go to, some of us may, even the leadership, have to go to confession and do some, introspection in your time with the Holy Spirit. And you got to ask the Holy Spirit, am I authentically providing a pro-life platform in my life on an individual basis? So when you do this, the Holy Spirit is very, very, very faithful to show you that error, you know. And then as a group, when you are on the same page, that's when you can see more clearly as a church, and that's where you can make a big difference as one voice in that area. So to me, I just really believe that both camps, first of all, you can't take something spiritual and then call it political. The spiritual, you know, the political is always, always, always going to be tainted by the Jezebel spirit. You know, the Jezebel is always in contention for control over people's lives. And, you know, it's the reason behind the political spins and the webs of lies, because when she was on this planet, she was a witch, and this is what witches do, okay? But, all right, when you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit within you, and Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, sent the Holy Spirit to the church to bring us into all truth. We got to be more concerned with things that can potentially bring us into error. We'll never get this pro-life thing. Right now, you know, I believe the church needs to forgive themselves for not occupying the pro-life position before Roe versus Wade became law in 1973, because I think that there's a tendency to play catch up. Let's go back and let's you know, try to unscramble the law.
Exactly.
And because
all life is worthy of living.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter how you got your start.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the cases against rape, porn, pregnancy,
mm-hmm.
or incest
mm-hmm.
are attacks against the innocent
mm-hmm.
because an innocent
mm-hmm.
was attacked.
Right, right.
And I can only imagine
mm-hmm.
the rage,
mm-hmm.
the extreme anger
mm-hmm.
of the ongoing
mm-hmm.
hidden behaviors
mm-hmm.
of an incest, or
mm-hmm.
a parental incest, or some degree of whatever
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
relational
mm-hmm.
incest.
And
then the violence of the pornographic mind raping somebody they don't even... I mean, raping anybody is wrong, but like just going on the street to have a sexual rampage and rape whoever you can get control of.
Well, let's just go one step further. Now they're... Because, let's go to the church abuse with the priests and,
the young men or young women,
too.
Mm-hmm.
And the different things that transpired over the years and then just started coming out, within the last 15 years, because that wasn't dealt with, the situation that's happening in society, that there's a lot, and we need to address this because it's deplorable in the eyes of the Lord, in the heart of the Lord, that these kids are now being used in the human trafficking at truck stops. And it's not just kids, it's kids and their mothers, and a lot of these parents are single parents. So,
not only that, they get abducted to do this at the truck stop.
And
nobody really they're on the lost and found list for people, and it's like, it's just going from worse to worse.
Yeah, and the thing being is that, when you have a situation like that, obviously... The victimization of both parent and child is such that it could be in another country or even in this country that there is no other recourse because they don't have a job, so they need to make money. They need to feed the family. Okay, they need to survive. And that most of the times people are homeless, and this is what happens. And so when you have we're in a crisis that people. Do not, they're overlooking. And if you have a group of people coming in that want to take away and blame those that have nothing because things are taken away, like educational opportunities because of cuts and everything, when you take that away and these other elements are already in society, influencing people in a bad way, it puts people in a state of desperation. And causes them to sin like this, and it's the church's responsibility, first of all, to meet the need of the single parent and those parents that are raising special needs children, especially ones with autism, and put the resources that the church brings in, creating programs from ideas that people are inspired by the Holy Spirit within their congregations, whether you're Catholic and non-Catholic, all right, and helping these families out. But sometimes you have to have the right pastor, because I know we had a situation where we had a pastor that constantly, when we were going through our financial up and downs and communicating because of his attitude about me and my husband and the person who he thought I was, I'm like, who is this person he's talking about? Here we are telling the truth, and we were always told that we were liars. Okay, because the pastor who happens to be a Catholic priest attitude against me, and most of the time I wasn't really saying much unless I had to speak up for myself. And I don't want this to be about me, but there's a lot of this, if it's happening with us and we understand spiritually what's going on, all right, you multiply that by 1,000. And it's going, it's happening outside, around us, in worse circumstances and situations. And so we the church needs to be schooled in how to take care of their own, because that's what's going on.
Stop shooting its wounded.
Yeah, it's got to stop shooting its wounded
and to be
effective. And I think this is the challenge.
And another thing is they got to take deal with the other 50% of all the. Wrongdoing in human society, which is perpetrated by men, who have grave addiction to pornography.
Mm-hmm. They only scratch the surface when it came to, convicting and asking the priests to leave that did this, but they didn't even get half the priests. But it's not all about you know, we found out or found out now. It's more like we got to, we you know, you got to go beyond this and now be the church that we're supposed to be.
Exactly, because it's just disgusting. And human issues don't go away because you're Protestant. Don't go away because you're Orthodox. Don't go away because you're Lutheran or Episcopal, Roman, Byzantine, whatever other type of Catholic there are. There's nine varieties. It just doesn't go away. You have to process it. And part of it is psychological, but we can't get stuck on the psychological solely. We need to do the psycho-spiritual healing where both elements of the personality get dealt with, because if you don't, these things remain hidden and they blow up in everybody's faces, causing problems all over again.
Now, with the HHS mandate, we're talking about hospitals, we're talking about, you know, Catholics at, you know, Catholic hospitals, that most of the hospitals, if not all the hospitals, in the model for hospital, came out of the, you know, the Catholic Church. Yes. Okay, the Catholics, and it, yes, and that's a wonderful legacy that we should uphold.
We share with the world.
And we share with the world. And we've established missions and things like that. But the fear factor is, and I need to understand this, you know, the over concern about, you know, these hospitals have to pay, or they're going to be, you know, or they have to play the game, or they're going to be paid huge fines as far as, you know, allowing the purchase of contraception.
No, not even the purchase.
Okay, the
obtaining of it.
Okay.
Free.
Okay.
Contraception, which goes against the conscience of the religious organization.
Exactly. And my thinking is that I really believe, and I'm going to pray, that the church will be creative enough to get beyond this and establish another forum, platform, where they can offer health care services that doesn't violate conscience. And, it, you know, where these buildings are church buildings, you know, and there's more than one, they're going to have to probably divert. And I see this in the spirit, clinics on church property, you know, as part of the church structure within the church, okay, and hire doctors and nurse practitioners within the parish structure that could offer services to families that need the services. And it be part of the church family, and that way they don't, they, you know, if it's, you know, in these hospitals, go ahead.
Especially in our area of the church, the restructuring of the parish.
Exactly.
It could be added in.
Yeah, matter of fact, the rectory that our church we changed churches because we moved, but the rectory that you know, when I was talking to that priest, who was a very nice priest, Father Kelly, he was telling us that the church rectory that he lives in now used to be a dental office. So it has that dental feel, you know.
Enter the drawer and you can tell that there was a reception desk right there.
Yeah, yeah. But I really believe that needs to be a restructuring. And that's what the Archdiocese of Boston is doing now, restructuring the different parishes and, you know, and implementing the programs that, you know, would be coming out. And it, wouldn't it be great to have a healthcare program within the context of, you know, the parishes? I think it would be great. I think that, you know, I think it would be innovative, and I think it would be awesome. But these are the things that God wants to challenge the people. But instead of always arguing, and, you know, let's just face it. And I heard this from a pastor who was in Catholic on one of the videos that they posted yesterday as a result of the church service. He said, he was speaking prophetically. He was comparing what's going on in the Middle East and what we should really be praying about. And he said it's really doesn't matter which president gets in. If President Obama gets reelected, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if Mitt Romney gets in. Things are going to happen the way that they're going. But it's the response of everyday believers and what we're going to do spiritually and what we're called to do as works of the Lord in this day and age. And we have to get right with the Lord. We have to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior so he can give us the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter if you're Catholic. You need the Holy Spirit. You need a relationship with Jesus, not just through the Eucharist, but a day-to-day relationship. Read Romans 10. Yeah.
And we have great examples in the Scripture of how God intervened despite the personalities of the leaders.
Yeah.
The first example that comes to mind is one of the Middle East kings during the time of one of the exiles. Cyrus, the Median Persian king.
Yeah.
Then there was the one in the line of this before him was Nebuchadnezzar,
king of Babylon.
And both were moved by God.
Yeah.
Honor God by rebuilding his temple.
And that was probably because of the prayers of the people.
You know.
Yeah.
And the intercession, and then we have, in the New Testament, we have St. Paul. Now, Paul was such a zealot for Judaism. He wasn't a political zealot, he was a religious zealot, that he thought the Christians were such a heretic that he went after them and arrested them and sent them back to Jerusalem for trial.
Yeah, yeah.
And what happened to him? God's intervention. Jesus directly intervened with him. And the people around him saw the light but didn't see the image that Paul saw. No, wait a minute. Not the light, the voice. They heard the voice but not see the picture of what Paul was seeing. And Paul was brought to his knees in one moment of grace. But that grace was built upon the intercession of the church, plus all the martyrs that Paul had martyred from the time he started persecution until the time of his conversion. So, I mean, we have great examples of God's intervention. God doesn't need us to act, but we need to pray for him to act.
Yeah.
And if he does call us to act, we have to act in a humane, anointed, in love manner.
Amen. You know, we have to, you know, and also, you know, pray for our walk with the Lord and ask Jesus to come in there, because if we don't ask Jesus in our heart and believe that, you know, he was risen from the dead and he sends us the Holy Spirit to bring us into all truth, we have nothing. We have nothing. And then we're subjected to, you know, the ways of the world.
There's a song that just came into my mind, and my favorite line, and is it, "One step over the line, sweet Jesus, one step over the line."
Yeah.
Now, I like to think that the author of that song is talking about stepping into Christ and out of the world, stepping over the line into Christ. And it's so easy to step out without even realizing that we've stepped out of Christ.
Yeah. And, you know, this is how much we need a Savior. You know, the Lord wants us to live vicariously and responsibly in the Spirit. And when you get out of the Spirit, when you're not in the Holy Spirit, your thinking is skewed, okay? And strange things can enter your mind, and you can entertain them and not be aware of it. And so I just want to just read, just to remind the listener audience who are followers of Christ. I want to read Romans 8 in encouragement, all right, for you to continue to press in to the things of the Lord, because you will not be disappointed. Life through the Spirit. Therefore, there is now no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. None. No condemnation. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. So no matter who gets in the office, you should not fear that. You're separated from the law of sin and death. Okay, you're freed. For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And many people are running around like Christ did not die for anyone. It just saddens me. You said you want to say something, Jeff.
I'm reading from this little book called My Imitation of Christ.
Yes.
And it's by Thomas A Kempis. Mm-hmm. And I open to a part that kind of addresses what we're talking about.
This is WSCIRO, Sikh Christian Internet Radio Outreach, a broadcast service of Sikh Christian Teaching and Worship Center, Greater Boston, Massachusetts.
Fight.
Yeah.
The personalities of the leaders.
Yeah.
The first example that comes to mind is one of the Middle East kings during the time of one of the exiles. Cyrus, the Median Persian king.
Yeah.
Then there was the one in the line of this before him was Nebuchadnezzar,
king of Babylon.
And
yeah.
Both were moved by God.
Yeah.
To honor God by rebuilding his temple.
And that was probably because of the prayers of the people.
You know.
Yeah.
And the intercession. And then we have in the New Testament, we have St. Paul. Now, Paul was such a zealot for Judaism. He wasn't a political zealot. He was a religious zealot that he thought the Christians were such a heretic that he went after them and arrested them and sent them back to Jerusalem for trial.
Yeah, yeah.
And what happened to him? God's intervention. Jesus directly intervened with him. And the people around him saw the light but didn't see the image that Paul saw. No, wait a minute. Not the light, the voice. They heard the voice, but not the picture of what Paul was saying. And Paul was brought to his knees in one moment of grace. But that grace was built upon the intercession of the church, plus all the martyrs that Paul had martyred from the time he started the persecution until the time of his conversion. So, I mean, we have great examples of God's intervention. God doesn't need us to act, but we need to pray for him to act.
Yeah.
And if he does call us to act, we have to act in a humane, anointed, in love manner.
Amen. You know, we have to, you know, and also, you know, pray for our walk with the Lord and ask Jesus to come in there. Because if we don't ask Jesus in our heart and believe that, you know, he was risen from the dead, and he sends us the Holy Spirit to bring us into all truth. We have nothing. We have nothing. And then we're subjected to, you know, the ways of the world.
There's a song that just came into my mind, and my favorite line, and is it, "One step over the line, sweet Jesus, one step over the line."
Yeah.
Now, I like to think that the author of that song is talking about stepping into Christ and out of the world, stepping over the line into Christ. And it's so easy to step out without even realizing that we've stepped out of Christ.
And, you know, this is how much we need a Savior. You know, the Lord wants us to live vicariously and responsibly in the Spirit. And when you get out of the Spirit, when you're not in the Holy Spirit, your thinking is skewed, okay? And strange things can enter your mind, and you can entertain them and not be aware of it. And so I just want to just read, just to remind the listener audience who are followers of Christ. I want to read Romans 8 in encouragement, all right, for you to continue to press in to the things of the Lord, because you will not be disappointed. Life through the Spirit. Therefore, there is now no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. None. No condemnation. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. So no matter who gets in the office, you should not fear that. You're separated from the law of sin and death. Okay, you're freed. For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And many people are running around like Christ did not die for anyone. It just saddens me. You said you want to say something, Jeff.
I'm reading from this little book called My Imitation of Christ.
Yes.
And it's by Thomas A Kempis. Mm-hmm. And I open to a part that kind of addresses what we're talking about.
Mm.
Know for certain that you must lead a dying life.
Mm.
The more a man dies to himself, the more he begins to live to God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No man is fit to comprehend heavenly things who has not resigned himself to suffer adversities for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is more acceptable to God, nothing more wholesome for you in this world than to suffer willingly for Christ. And if you were to choose, you ought to wish rather to suffer adversities for Christ than to be delighted with many comforts, because you would thus be more like unto Christ and more conformable to all the saints.
Amen. Amen. So I just wanted that. Well, thank you for sharing that with me, Jeff. So I just, what was that? What book was that from?
My Imitation of Christ.
Okay.
And it's from chapter 12, page 151.
Okay. So I urge you, brothers and sisters, to get a copy of that book. That's a wonderful devotion. And I, from what I understand and hear and read on Facebook and different places, blogs, there are many people. You don't have to necessarily be Catholic. You don't necessarily. You don't necessarily have to be a Catholic to use that book as a devotion. Many people that are not necessarily Catholic use that book and have been blessed. All right. So I want to finish on Romans 8, because this is great stuff here. Romans 8. We're right now on Romans 8, verse 4. In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. So that's what's happening. There's a disconnect between the heart that the Lord gave you and the mind set that you have. All right? And if your mind isn't renewed, then your desires are skewed, and you think that you might want something that's detrimental to the body of Christ in general, if it's something that's on a broader scale regarding the election, or, you know, it's maybe something in the family or your own personal needs, wants, and desires. When your mind is not renewed, it's very skewed in, you know, and you could be in for a rude awakening. It says, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set, because they have the mind of Christ, on what the Spirit desires, all right? And what the Spirit sees, not just what the Spirit desires. I'm going to just kind of throw this out there, okay, in the atmosphere and on the blog land there. You know, what if, I know there's some things going on out there where they're like, saying that there's judgments that have fallen in here and there because of the sin nature of the world, and that's partially true. But what if in God's great mercy and great love that he saw in two generations, all right, because of the extent of his love, he saw two generations down in your bloodline because of you following the Lord, that there is going to be others that are going to come into salvation and do greater works than you, all right? If you destroy the world because of sin now, they will not have a chance. So the fact that the Lord is giving you progeny, like new grandchildren, and an extra 40 or 50 years of human existence. What if he wanted all the Muslims saved, which I believe he does, and all the Jewish people saved, all of Israel saved, and in your heart and mind, mostly in your mind, you're thinking, if the Lord just ended it all and raptured us all up, we'd be, you know, it is to solve the problem, Jeff.
They might all act like Jonah and run away.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? In God's greater economy, in the economy of heaven, He is willing that people live because He's looking for people to be called His own, so that the kingdom of God can come into this earth in power and glory. And I just wouldn't want to get in the way of that. I'd rather just pray, get on my knees, and pray, and let the Holy Spirit do what He needs to do. Okay. All right. If I had done that with my daughter, my first daughter, my oldest daughter has made me a proud grandmother of this beautiful little girl, Kristen Louise. Now, 5 or 6 or 7 years ago, I was thinking, gee, this girl is just messed up. And, you know, and if I just stayed at that judgment, I wouldn't be moved by the Lord to pray for her. I would just, you know, like, Lord, just take her home, take her now. No, I knew the Lord gave me so much love for my daughter and a vision for her life that she was not going to stay where she was at. If I... And, you know, one iota, you know, had harbored this negative resentment, you know, who I thought that she was, and, you know, and adopted that attitude, well, she doesn't deserve my prayers, which I almost did a couple of times. And it was like the Lord, I was just like, Lord, even in my prayer time, Lord Jesus, I just can't take the pain of just watching my daughter go through this. You need to... You know, I'm just going to give it all to you. I'm going to put it all in your hands. And that's a prayer in itself. But, you know, I knew in my heart, you know, that my daughter's rebellion was not going to be long-lived. And she is just a remarkable mother to this day. I provided for my kids. But heart-wise, my daughter... It's just like she's a born natural to be the mother of Kristen, and she's a beautiful mother. She just takes the time with her, and she meets all of her needs, and she's so passionate about being a mother and just loving it. It's something that was not forced on her, and you know, there's some things that, you know, that have to happen, like, you know, she's praying that the baby's father would, you know, be responsible and end up marrying her. You know, I mean, they're together and they're raising the baby together, and we're just praying for that, you know, that right time. Healed up and set free, you know. So, but they're both, you know, good people, and they both want to make this work, and they're making a commitment, and the ingredients are there. You know, a lot of people in their generation are not married, but are raising kids, and so that's the culture of their generation. But, you know, we don't need to judge. We just need to pray that they will be open to the sanctification, further sanctification of their relationship, that it could go to the point that God wants them to carry it. Okay, so let me continue on. It says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death. Yes, always bent towards death. Let's kill this, let's kill that, let's call people liars, even if they're telling the truth, you know, even if they're telling partial truth and it's a partial lie, pray for their repentance, but you don't pray for death. That's another thing that I've seen on the internet, you know, and Christians decreeing the death of the president. Jeff, is there anything you want to say about that?
Puke.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, we still, even if we feel pukey about it, you know, we have to pray for them that God would just convict their hearts, you know. It says, but the mind controlled by the Spirit of life and peace, the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, and I'm talking to all of you, are controlled not by, or should not be controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness, his righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. I just got this scene at the cross, you know, at Calvary, when before Jesus went to the cross, when Pontius Pilate, when the Jewish people of the day handed him over to Pontius Pilate because they were in their Sabbath and they did not want to make the final decision whether he lives or dies, that they put the that on Pontius Pilate, and whatever he said they would accept. And so, you know, in the crowd you had of the day, that was like the Republicans and Democrats. That was the there was an insurgence within the crowd, whenever Pontius Pilate would ask, what do you say I should do? And there were people that were going around the crowd saying, release Barabbas, say release Barabbas, release it. And I know that it was the will of God for him to be crucified, and that's the only reason why Jesus went to the cross. It wasn't because of the power of the insurgents that were exciting the crowds. God used that to accomplish his greater purpose.
He had great power,
mm-hmm.
and he had greater love.
Yes.
Love for us is greater than his use of his own power.
Exactly.
Because he said he could have called a multitude of angels to rescue him.
That's it. Yeah, yeah. But at the same time, there was spinning, and the Lord used all that. So the Lord can use all this political spinning to accomplish a certain purpose. Okay, whatever that is. And I have this feeling, it's to get the church off of their butts and awaken the sleeping giant of faith.
One more thing. In the book of Daniel, mm-hmm. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego had their spiritual growth had gotten to a point where there were no fear strongholds.
Mm-hmm.
There were no fear of death strongholds.
Mm-hmm.
So when it came to obeying God rather than man,
yes,
they made the declaration to Nebuchadnezzar.
Mm-hmm.
It's they were saying, it is in God's power to save us.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't save us, know that we will not serve your God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We serve the living God.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, he got infuriated. He heated the furnace 10 to 20 times hotter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the people who tossed them into the furnace died.
Mm-hmm.
And they land in the middle, and there's a fourth person in there.
The Son of Righteousness.
And it's like a big bellows of cool air infiltrated the furnace, even though all around it was all fiery and burning.
I bet you it was the wind of the Holy Spirit just coming on in there
and
blowing all things away.
So their confidence was demonstrated.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Nebuchadnezzar recanted on his unbelief and made a declaration to the whole world
because
he was ruler of the earth.
That's right.
And he said, let no one speak ill of the God of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And he explains what happened, what he witnessed with his own eyes.
Yeah.
The deliverance of someone who trusted in God.
That's right.
So that brought him deeper into saving faith.
Mm-hmm. And wouldn't that be something for whatever the United States is going through, that, you know, many of the Christians, you know, embrace who they are in the Lord and trusted more in the Holy Spirit. And as we collectively, you know, come forward and ask for a greater measure of faith and walk in that greater measure of faith, that when other people in the world see that, that would be their salvation.
Even
example of salvation.
Even the king's friends later on, they were looking to attack Daniel because he was like the second highest in the kingdom. Right?
Yes.
So they're trying to attack him. Mm-hmm. He's morally upright, he's righteous, and we can't get him on any issue of morality, but we can get him on a matter of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And they deceive the king into making an edict which is irreversible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that anybody praying to any other God besides my God for 30 days will be thrown into the lion's den. And when the king woke up that he was being misused and the law was being misused, it was too late. It was like, and his last statement to Daniel was like, I hope that the God you trust in will save you. It was like, that's my paraphrase of it. And he put the rock, he sealed the rock, cast him into it, sealed it up, so nobody could take him out of it. And he was there for 3 days. But then when the king couldn't sleep, he came out to the lion's den and found that Daniel didn't even have a scratch of wood. Sent his angels to hold the lion's mouth shut. But then when these people who played that trick on the king, the king turned the judgment around on them. And through them, not only the people perpetrators, their families, their servants, before they hit the bottom of the den, they were devoured.
I get this, as you're talking, I'm getting this vision, you know, whether it's going to be reality or what, but it's a what if. What if something happened in this one and resources are dried up? Okay. It doesn't matter who's gonna get in, but if something were to happen, I know that if something were to happen, how would we survive? And I really believe it's by faith. I believe there's going to be miraculous provision of food. Or if there's little food, it's going to be an expansion of food. Remember the time that we were at the Flame of Fire Church, Jeff?
Oh, yeah.
And it was... and
doing something with Shelley.
It was the Night to Honor Israel, right? Was it the... Yeah.
It was a breakfast.
It was a breakfast for that, to raise funds for that. And we were the ones that, were responsible for the food. And we only had so much money. And so we went shopping, and we got couscous and eggs and whatever. And we noticed that there were more people that we didn't know were coming.
The hall space was actually full.
Yeah.
For how we set it up.
Yeah, it was full for how we set it up. And so I said, I'm looking at what we have, and I'm looking at the people. I'm like, oh Lord. I said, you're going to have to multiply this because it's going to be run out of food. We're going to run out of food before you know it during the breakfast. And there's only enough for 20 people, and there's 50 that showed up. and so I remember Pat King's, when she was giving her witness about that when she was in Africa, and a whole lot of other ministers and leaders that are have wonderful ministries. And so I'm like, Lord, just like you did for them. And so as I'm, preparing the food and everything, I did notice that the Lord showed me some onions. He goes, I had enough money for extra onions. So I'm like, I'm going to buy extra onions. And so that's what the Lord put in my heart, buy extra onions, and he'll do the rest. So I'm cutting them all up and, doing what I need to do with onions and putting them in and in the oven. And there was still some food left over. And people were commenting how the food just is out of this world and everything. And I said, oh.
The background miracle.
Yeah, the background miracle. Yeah.
And then some.
Yeah, and then some. So, that's what the Lord's going to do. We don't have anything to worry about when we have the kingdom of God inside of us.
On that note,
folks.
True.
Yeah.
On that note,
yeah.
I believe, you could even have a little bag of rice.
Yeah.
And God could feed 400 from that.
That's right.
Because in the times to come, we're going to have to believe God. I remember testimonies of a person who had one cup of rice. And they had this big soup pot. And they made a kind of exclamative declaration of prayer. Lord, your people. And she threw the rice in the water. And it fed 400 people.
Yeah.
One cup of rice.
I believe it. The other thing, too, is then in your sleep, I've had friends who are from Africa you know, in the middle of the famine, or if they, one person had a digestive issue. But they, let's just say, they said that the Lord sent them angels to feed them in their sleep, or to feed them, you know, or the communion time, they've become so full, you know, with the communion, that they wouldn't even be hungry for other things. So this is a time where our faith is going to be tested. We're coming up to this. But you got to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and ask the Holy Spirit, ask him to send the Holy Spirit, which he will, because he's faithful. That's what his faithful job is. That's what he said he would do.
Faithful and true is his nickname.
Faithful and true is his nickname. That's one of his names. And so, you know, you really need to hold on to that, the hem of Jesus' garment in the days that are coming. You know, suffering is going to increase, but it's for your benefit. And it's not because of any particular political party, although we want to select the one that's going to bring the less suffering. But we need to increase in love. And in the days ahead, suffering has a tendency to do that. You know, it draws people together and unites people and things like that. So, you know, that is that's the conclusion of that. I want to continue with Romans. I didn't even know I was going to read Romans because the Lord originally told me to read Ephesians 6, and we'll get into that, because we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities, rulers in this world of darkness. And right now there's a lot of people that are in the political system of this world that are accessing these powers and creating spins and lies and causing people, and trying to control the people with it. And as soon as your awareness is there, group awareness, then it changes to something else, and then something else, and then something else. And then there's confusion, there's pandemonium confusion. But the Lord is still the Lord, and he works through that confusion, but you got to call upon his name. So let's go to Romans 8:12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, I'm going to throw sisters in there, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And I have to say, when someone, even if it's the President of the United States and you don't like him, he says he's a Christian and he received the Holy Spirit, it's not your right to say that he's not. It's not your right to say he's Muslim when he's not. He's not confessing that. But you're trying to put that curse on him. You know, we talked about charismatic curses before. That's another form of lie. That's another form of stronghold. Charismatic curses. And Christians need to be aware of that, because you are tried by your own fire, like Jeff said earlier. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. The Lord does not want man to create their own glory and live for the glory of man. He wants us to live for the glory of God and in his glory. And for those who call upon his name, for those who are sincere in their repentance and receiving of Jesus as Lord and Savior, and the gift of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, to bring them into all truth, they have a shot at living in the glory. It's not for, you know, it's big for everyone. But
it's not just later.
It's not just later. It's
here and now.
Yeah, it's here and now. Exactly. That's what I was talking about. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here and now. So what are you going to do? The question is, what are you going to do? Are you going to be the stumbling block to keep people out of the kingdom? Are you going to be a gatekeeper to keep them out? Or are you going to be the door that God will use to bring the kingdom, to bring them into the kingdom? Those are the two choices you have today. All right? And that's the greater thing that God is doing. He's forming us to be doors to the kingdom, because he's forming Christ more fully in us. You know, I was just, as I was reading this, a dialogue that I had with the Lord a couple of days ago came back to me. And that was, I asked the Lord, I'm like, Lord, what is going on with these minor earthquakes in these different places? And he had already given us a prophetic word with this group of people that we had prayed with in a Harper Boat intercession a couple of years ago. And I'm going to play this towards the end of this broadcast. You're going to be amazed. The last half an hour, it's everything that was prophesied, everything that the Lord wanted to emphasize about, you know, a couple of years ago was for now, and we see it all coming to pass. You're going to be amazed as to what the Holy Spirit is doing, what he's done since those prophetic words were released. I would say they were released in 2006. We uploaded them. It took us a couple of years to get them on YouTube, and it was called Beyond the Unknown Prophets. So.
Victory. All I got. Surrender more greatly. accepted into the light of Him. I saw many people standing like torches, and they were lifted high off the earth, like in a lighthouse, or like you see the steps of these torches get high, and they really did see like for miles and miles and miles. In the spiritual sight and the spiritual ears, you can hear things halfway across the world, and you can hear a cry of one whispering. There will be such a refinement in spiritual eyes and ears, and an outpouring of your mouth, that the watering of the Holy Spirit, the watering within your belly will literally come out your mouth, and new wine will be turned like a miracle coming out your mouth, and many will taste and see that He is good. And through your life, sons of light indeed, says the Father, it's time to step out of you.
Christ. And he's going to make of that spotless bride. He's going to prove our character by his spirit. That he called us to the places that he has for us. The higher elevations of his spirit. The higher elevations where the higher love. Thank you, Lord, for blowing up. So I thank you, Lord, for blowing up.